I had been greatly impressed this morning as to the matter of filling and how God would fill your soul, how God would fill the soul of every man, woman, and child. Fill it with the Lord Jesus Christ to such a point that we find complete satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. And how this wonderful filling that God has for us, this wonderful gift of salvation, is so great, and it relates to the person of Christ. So I wanted to read four scriptures, and I wanted to speak of fullness as it relates to salvation, and filling as it relates to salvation. So in John's Gospel, chapter 1, it says, verse 16, if you could go with me to verse 16. For of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. John 1, verse 16. This is speaking of children of God who have been born not of blood nor of flesh's will nor of man's will, but of God. It speaks of them, a person that repents and a person that puts their faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how it describes them in verse 16. For of his fullness we all have received grace upon grace. So just taking this idea and now going to, what does that look like in a person's life? What does that look like in somebody who doesn't even know Jesus? What does that look like when they get filled up? What does it look like when they receive this fullness? Well, if you turn with me now to the second scripture, I'd like to speak about in Mark 14 about the woman with the alabaster flask. So Mark chapter 14 and verse 3, speaking of Jesus. So here's Jesus, and he's in this house of, he was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. And as he lay at table, there came a woman having an alabaster flask, an ointment of pure nard, very costly. And having broken the alabaster flask, she poured it on his head. So here comes this woman, we're later told, you know, from some of the other accounts, she was a known sinner in that town. She was known for her sinful life, but her heart had been affected by the Lord Jesus. And not only affected, but it had been filled just like this alabaster flask that she had. It had been really filled up. She had an appreciation of Jesus. And she somehow had an appreciation that he was going to have to die. And this was the significance. She has anointed his body for the work he was going to do, and death. She could see that death would be involved. And did you know that to secure your soul, to secure your wicked soul and mine, sinful soul and my, and deal with my sinful state, the only way that the Lord Jesus could do it was to go through death, go onto the cross. He had to bear my sins in his body on the tree. And if you believe that he bore your sins in his body on the tree, you can be filled with an appreciation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, she had led a publicly sinful life, and she now had found satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. She now had an appreciation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see it also with the woman in John 4. She got to a point. She said, it's so wonderful. I want this water that fills. Well, we have to deal first with the matter of our sin. Reach out for the blessing. The Lord is offering this blessing. True satisfaction can alone be found in Jesus Christ. That is very important for you to know. True and full and complete satisfaction is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only place. You can look in the world, you can find temporary satisfaction, but as the woman in John 4 found, each time you go for it, the well gets deeper and deeper and deeper. You have to go more into sin to get the same bang that you had. You had to go from light drugs into heavy drugs. You have to go from some alcohol to a lot of it. You have to go deeper into sin in order to get the same bang that sin offers, this temporary pleasure. And this woman had found this, and the Lord Jesus offered in John 4 this water springing up into eternal life. It is so wonderful. It is so great what the Lord is offering in salvation. But it cost him. You realize it cost him his life. He had to shed his precious blood in order that we could obtain salvation. So I believe this woman here is somebody who came to appreciate what the Lord Jesus did on the cross. Have you come to this? Have you come to this appreciation? Have you let it affect your soul? This is not something to be skipped over. This is something to meditate upon, to think upon. And the Lord would fill you by the Spirit with an appreciation of himself. And this woman had found satisfaction. She found so much satisfaction, she didn't care what other people thought. She was going to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. She was going to make much of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was going to pour out her heart and affection to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Why wouldn't she? Why it would have held her back what everybody else thought? Because the Lord Jesus had filled her heart. Why are you and I not so definite about exalting the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it that we haven't truly filled our hearts with the Lord Jesus Christ? He would fill it. Wonderful. Just wonderful to see this woman here. And the Lord Jesus can fill. He can satisfy. He satisfies the desire of every living thing, it says in the Psalms. Even the animals get their desires filled by God in creation. He gives witness. But man is this great unsatisfied creature because of sin. Great unsatisfaction has come in. And the pursuit of sin simply magnifies the unsatisfaction of sin. So the woman is somebody whose heart is filled. Your heart can be filled just like this woman. But then I wanted just to turn to Mark chapter 9, verse 2. To the Mount of Transfiguration. I believe there's a certain real aha moment that happens as we have the Lord alone before us. Mark 9 verse 2. And after 6 days, Jesus takes with him Peter and James and John, and takes them up on a high mountain by themselves apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his garments became exceeding white as snow, such as fuller on earth could not whiten them. And there appeared to them Isaiah with Moses And as they were talking with Jesus, Peter answering said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good that we should be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and Elias one. For he knew not what he should say, for they were filled with fear. And there came a cloud overshadowing them. And there came a voice out of the cloud, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly, having looked around, they saw no one, no longer saw anyone, but Jesus alone with themselves. Here, I believe, is a wonderful filling that happened to Peter and James and John. A wonderful filling. Yes, it was special. Yes, they saw the Lord Jesus in a very special way here, but I believe it's for you and me too. As we come apart, as we draw nigh in our own private time in just us and the Lord, just Jesus and it's themselves, just in affection for the Lord, just tell him, I just need to know you. Not only as my Savior, but my companion. I just need to know that you're there. Don't you find that desire in your heart? You just need to know that the Lord is there. And I need to have a fresh impression, Lord, of your presence. Now the Lord purposely takes them apart. The Lord wants to do this. That's what's so encouraging. The Lord purposely takes them apart. And I believe the Lord, those that draw near to me, I will draw near to them, is a promise, is something that can be known. And if you desire this in your soul, take time. Just to be with the Lord Jesus, just to be in his presence, just to tell him of the desire of your soul. I need your presence, Lord. You are my Savior. You are my guide. You are my life. You see, that woman with the alabaster flask, she didn't have any life outside of Christ. Mary at the tomb didn't have any life outside of Christ. Christ, he can be everything. He can fill us so completely. He can satisfy us so completely. We won't have to go to the world for anything in relation to our soul. It's all there. And even what we get from the world is, we see behind that it's from the Lord himself, his provision for us. But I think there's a wonderful scene here. There's a wonderful clue here. And I think the disciples' souls at this time, the Lord really did fill them. You can see it in Peter's epistle. He says, of this time, that this experience he had here, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Yeah. They saw behind this man that before, that was Christ, is so much more than a man. Christ is very God himself. The glory of the person of Christ suddenly was revealed to him. And if you study the epistles, you read wonderful things like, in the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Christ bodily. Oh, that opens your heart. You meditate on those type of words. And for you and for me, Christ becomes more than a man. His glory starts to shine in our hearts. But this just doesn't happen. Do you desire this? Do I desire this? Are we spending time in his presence? Being filled? Now, the wonderful thing is that the very death of Christ is pictured in when Moses strikes the rock. Now we think of a lot of things when we think of the death of Christ, but one of the great things that happened is that when Moses struck the rock, that outburst all this water. And it speaks of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is what coming in us makes us able to receive, possible for us to be filled, produces a divine work, and we become divine vessels, vessels that are able to take in, to have some measure of capacity makes it possible. So by putting our trust in Christ, through the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit, we can have this actually within ourselves. We can become these vessels. This vessel that this woman had, this alabaster flask, that can be you. That can be me, full of appreciation of Jesus. This is such an important point, that Christ, as in, we'll read later, is the fullness of him who fills all in all. Christ is going to fill everything. And the blessing right now is if you and I can be filled with the Spirit. It says don't grieve the Spirit. Don't grieve. Just allow the glory of Christ. What has been revealed of God, of Christ, allow it to fill your soul. So this woman here, something very fine with this woman. She is bold. Why? How could she be so bold about her appreciation? Because she's filled with Christ. You say, I'm not very bold. Well, spend more time in the presence of Christ, and you just can't help but sharing it. And that's what happened with the woman in John 4, right? She was so full, it says that she left her pot. She left what she was looking for in the world for such. She put that behind her. I don't need that old pot anymore. I have this water springing up within me. And it was so obvious. She was so bold in her witness, she emptied the whole town, pointing people to Christ. Go to Christ. Go to Christ. Be filled. I believe the Lord is speaking to you, to me. Be filled. I can satisfy completely. Who else can say that? What else in this world can say that? Nothing. He can fill, and he would fill to overflowing. What made those disciples so bold? What makes the martyrs so bold? Being burnt at the stake. They were filled. Stephen was filled with a sense of the living presence of Christ, the living impression of Christ in glory. It filled his heart. Do not underestimate this. Do not put it aside. Then it says, of his fullness we read, we have all received grace upon grace. That's John reflecting on it. It's just been grace upon grace upon grace. We have such a gracious Lord. We have such a gracious God. What is this to produce? So I was very affected this morning with hymn 254, which we might sing at the end, but I just want to call your attention to this verse 4. The writer is saying, be thou our all. Is that your cry? Be thou our all. Be everything to me, Lord. Thy love can fill the soul. The writer's saying he knows about this. Thy love can fill a soul. That love which soars beyond all creature thought. This is greater than anything that we can enjoy creatorially. Any love or satisfaction that we can feel from a job well done, right as that is, or a love from a spouse, right as that is, this love here, it says, soars beyond all creature thought. It goes beyond all that we could know in a creatorial way. It can fill us spiritually. And what does it do? What does this full heart do? It says, in spirit, bring us where endless praises roll. Wow, we've been asking ourselves, what does it mean in Ephesians when it says this, made us to be seated in the heavenlies in Christ? Well, what does that actually mean? I believe a vital part of that, an absolutely vital part, if we want to know that, is it needs to come from hearts who are full with Christ. And it says here, that love, it says, in spirit, bring us. So in Ephesians, he has on mind all these vessels that are full with Christ, right? And it's like the Lord is trying to lift all his people up and bring them to where he is in the heavenlies. Now you say, is that possible? Yes, but we need individually to have found this satisfaction in Christ, to have found what it is to be full of Christ. And happily, we can see, at least for this hymn writer, he experienced something of that. Amen. He said, basically, he says, in spirit, bring where endless praises roll. I have a sense of that. I've been brought into what's eternal with my fellow believers whose hearts are all full. And as we praise God and as we worship him together, you have that sense that we've gone far past us just sitting in a little circle, seeing one another, enjoying to see one another. We're actually being brought to be in union with Christ. We've been brought into organic links with each other. We've been brought into heavenly places.
Amen.
Even more than that, in this wonderful hymn, he says, after touching that kind of thing, that kind of experience, he says, and fill our longing hearts. We want more. Till there we're brought. He's speaking of a future day to when we actually, it won't be in Christ as it is in this chapter in Ephesians. It'll be with Christ when we're actually brought with him. Fill our souls till that day when we're with him. Is that the desire of your heart? Is that the desire of my heart? Is that desire of us as believers? Is that the desire of our heart? He fills the desire of every living thing. If he does that for nature, do you not think he does it spiritually?
Amen.
If we are moved on this line of desire, do you think that it's impossible to obtain this kind of blessing? Is it impossible to know this kind of satisfaction? If we set our hearts for it, if we ask the Spirit, if he's already given us his Son in order to obtain salvation, how much now rather shall we obtain all of these things? Do you not think he has given us sufficient in order for us to be marked now in life, in complete satisfaction, in complete enjoyment? One of the old preachers so had this on his heart, and he had it in relation to the gospel, that he wrote this amazing tract that affected me since I've been a young person. Safety, certainty, and enjoyment, right? He felt that if unbelievers could first get to the point of safety as to their soul, that would be, that's so important. And certainty and an assurance that they were assured as believers, but if they could just get to enjoyment, then they would really be established. And this is the other wonderful thing about having your soul full of Christ and having Christ completely satisfying you. Then all of a sudden, all these traps that the world has for you, all these lures that Satan, the things of earth grow strangely dim in the sight and the glory of Christ. As that's before our hearts, these things don't have the pull. And he helps us. And we get free of these things. All this flesh, I still have so much flesh that me. Well, make more room for Christ. The flesh will have to go. Make more room for the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says that love that soars beyond all creature thought, in spirit bring us where endless praises roll. So I'll just finish the final scripture that I'd like to touch on is of Ephesians 3 and verse 14 to 21. So what is possible with this fullness? What does God have in mind with this fullness? Well, let's just read it, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul now goes into prayer for these dear saints. He takes time just to bow his knees. He's so passionate that they know what this matter is livingly in their hearts and experience. He bows his knees before God and he beseeches him. He says, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom every family in the heavens and on earth is named, in order that he might give you according to the riches of his glory. It's like we're vessels that are getting filled and he's pouring out all this gold. And we want to have our vessels filling up and all that God is pouring out. The riches of his glory. Ah, it's God's glory, Christ's glory. To be strengthened with power by his spirit in the inner man. That the Christ may dwell through faith in your hearts. Being rooted and founded in love. In order, now this is what's possible, that ye may be fully able, you say, is that actually possible? Fully able to apprehend with all the saints. I'm going to need my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to need them in order to obtain this. What is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height? To know, is this really possible? To know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that ye may be filled. Can you get the intensity of Paul here? Mm-hmm. Can you catch the passion? Mm-hmm. Can you catch him bowing the knee here? Him in earnest. Him in espousing them as a virgin to Christ, him desiring that this company of believers may be filled. Amen. In the early Acts, they were so filled that the house shook. That would be a happy experience to prove, wouldn't it? That the house shook. Wonderful thing. That ye may be filled. Now it goes on to another interesting thing here. Filled for what? Filled even to all the fullness of God. Wow. This goes past what any poor preacher can express, any poor words can express. This is, you're at the edge touching of what is of deity, touching of what an ocean that has no limit, the fullness of God. This is filled even to the fullness of God. And then he says, but to him that is able to do far exceedingly above all that we ask or think. You know, many times we will ask for something, but God gives us far more than we ever asked for. That's the kind of generous God we have. That's the kind of Lord Jesus Christ we have, who gives us far more. You know, prodigal son would have been just so glad. He was starving there. Didn't even, hey, he'd been glad just to have some bread and some water in his father's house. That'd been good enough. But God is giving him far exceedingly above whatever he even thought was possible. Did that not happen to Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth was lame, living a cramped life with little resource in a land called Lodabar, which means no pasture. And even if David just had given him enough food and provided for him so he could stand by himself, not have to depend on somebody else, he would have been happy. But David gave him far exceedingly above what he could think of. Who knew? And Rahab, she would have been just glad enough if she just was saved from this terrible slaughter that was going to be happen. When the judgment of God, she would have been happy just to have that. But what happened to Rahab? She got more than remission of sins. She got an inheritance amongst the sins. She ends up marrying one of the princes of Israel. She ends up being in the divine line. She ends up being in the midst of Israel. She ends up being revered and an important and integral part of Israel's history. This is far above and beyond what we can think or what we can imagine. That's what God has for you. Now it's a question. Now the ball's in your court. Do you believe that? Do you believe what Paul is saying here? The ball is in your court. Do you believe he has it there? He says it's available. The wonderful thing is that where there's faith, you know, God put all sorts of wonderful things before Abraham. And you have this wonderful thing, the wonderful way of the way that Abraham, it speaks of the way that Abraham appropriated these very, very wonderful things in faith. It says that, but having seen them from afar off, it says in Hebrews 13, and embrace them. Abraham embraced the promises. Will you embrace these absolutely wonderful promises of God? Embrace involves your affections. Embrace the promises of God. Start just where you are. Even if you're a little child, what's a promise a little child? Well, obey your parents. Embrace, honor your parents. Embrace that promise, and God will bring you more. Salvation is in Christ. Embrace that. Embrace the salvation that is involved in Christ. And what is opened up? Far more. Embrace this thought that you're now a son of God. Embrace that thought. And what is open to you? Abraham embraced these promises. So this wonderful section here says that in order that he may give you the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power by his spirit in the inner man, that the Christ may dwell through faith in your hearts, being rooted and founded in love, in order that, you know, this kind of fullness just goes out in testimony. it goes out, it spreads out. You might be able to fully apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ. That is available. You, I, young ones, old ones, you can know here is in conscious knowledge, the idea of actual conscious knowledge. You can know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Why? For what purpose? That ye may be filled even to all the fullness of God. Well, I'll stop there. That you may be filled to all the fullness of God. You then become a worshiper. A worshiper. He could go to that woman who is filled and speak of the most exalted things because she had found satisfaction. She had been filled. He can talk about the most exalted thing because it's a filled vessel. May the Lord bless the word.
Amen.